Back in 2012, Dylan Mayer was 19 years old, and he was a few years into a new passion, scuba diving. He says spending time underwater in Puget Sound is like visiting an alien planet full of strange creatures.
There is a fish down there. I believe it's called the Cabazon. It's a very curious fish. It's a large fish. It's an ugly fish. And it'll come right up to you. It'll nudge you with its nose and its face, and it's very curious what you are.
Dylan grew up in Maple Valley, Washington, outside of the liberal blue bubble of Seattle. He's tall, with a slight build. On the day we meet, he wears a plaid button-down dress shirt and a ball cap, nursing a Red Bull and a smoke. We talk on some logs at Cove 2 on the West Seattle side of Elliott Bay. This little half moon of sand and rocks is where Dylan did something as a teenager that would affect his life long after. On October 31st, 2012, he set out to marry his love of scuba diving with his desire to be self-sufficient and harvest his own food. That gray morning, the goal was to pluck a giant Pacific octopus from its den, wrestle it to the surface, and take it home for dinner. He and a friend headed to the popular dive site at Cove 2.
So we went in and went to one of the first wrecks right off of the shore here at Cove 2. And found it in its den.
It was a male octopus tucked into a rock pile next to a boat wreck.
And, the way to get them out is to basically irritate them into attacking you. I was poking it from the backside. Eventually, it started reaching out through the main exit, and it came out, rolled over the top of the rocks to where I was, and then we kind of jumped at each other. You're pretty much the bait. And you let it go after you. I just hung on to him.
Dylan and the octopus did hand-to-tentacle combat for 45 minutes on the way to the surface. Now, this is actually how you're supposed to hunt the cephalopod. In Washington State, it's against the law to use anything that could poke a hole in an octopus. The idea is that that could lead to this intelligent animal dying a slow death if a hunter has to abandon the fight. Dylan's Kevlar wetsuit protected him from the octopus's beak, which is kind of like a parrot's. The octopus went for Dylan's regulator, the thing a diver breathes through.
The more you try to grab it back from it, the more it's not going to want to give it to you. So you just kind of pretend like you don't want it, and that's how you get it to drop it. And the key is just to stay calm. Once you panic, you'll drown.
When they finally broke the surface, what people saw was a man beating the crap out of an 80-pound octopus. People on the beach started taking pictures, and they did not look happy. So Dylan and his friend hurried to throw the carcass in the back of his truck and head out. Later, Dylan would butcher the octopus and share it with friends and family. He put a few legs away in the freezer for himself. And then, a couple of days later, a visitor came to his house.
A game warden came to my house. She wanted to see the octopus. She said she's never had to show up for a call about an octopus before. She wasn't really sure how to go about it. So I invited her into my house, showed her all the packaged meat, and then I showed her the remains of the octopus, the parts that you don't eat, in a bag outside. And according to her, I did everything right and through the book. And asked her what was going on. And she said, "You don't know?" I said, "What are you talking about? Just Google your name. Be careful. This thing is kind of turned into a big ordeal." That's what I did. I Googled it. Saw a lot of stuff.
Outrage is growing tonight over the killing of a giant Pacific octopus that witnesses say was a female guarding her eggs.
A lot of rumors that had become pretty twisted and not true.
Bob Bailey says what he saw yesterday was appalling.
And I said, "That's a she, and she's probably here to lay eggs." At which point he looked at me and he said she was on eggs, and now she's not.
It was clearly a male due to the eighth shortest leg, which they have. I believe it's for breathing. And things start to twist into a different story, a story that even I would be upset if I heard. So there was a lot of threats to me and my family, kidnapping threats. People saying they'd come to my house and, kill me and my family.
The threats were out of control. The threats were absolutely out of control. My name is Laura James, and I'm a filmmaker and environmental advocate here in the Northwest.
Laura James is a mainstay in the dive community at Cove 2. She also spent part of her childhood in Eastern Washington, and like Dylan, she had a close connection to where her food came from.
We lived in an orcharding community, and we raised our own meat, and every year we'd raise a couple calves, and we'd butcher them, and we got to watch it as kids. Like, you're going to watch where your meat comes from. And I caught fish when I was growing up, you know, salmon and trout, and that's how we ate. That's where we got our protein.
Laura was troubled by the intensity of the hate raining down on this 19-year-old, anger from what's normally a pretty peaceful group of adults.
Dive shops were banning him and lifetime bans, and this guy ever comes into our shop, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was really ugly to be faced with that situation at that age when you have that passion to realize that maybe it's all going to get cut off. And that you're ostracized by the community that you were hoping to be involved with and grow in can be devastating. And when you're young, it can have even more weight. And so I felt for him. I just felt bad for Dylan, in my mind at that point, for the kid at that point. I'm just like, there's got to be more to this story. So I reached out to him to try to just be like, hey, not everybody hates you. I'll take you out diving if you want to go on a cleanup with me. I couldn't necessarily go to bat for him with the community until maybe he'd done something that showed that he wasn't an animal. He wasn't a monster.
It's worth repeating something here. Dylan didn't do anything illegal. He was hunting an animal that's on restaurant menus all over the Northwest. Where he messed up was not understanding the culture of Cove 2. Yes, people may fish off the dock or jig for squid at night, but divers here think of the octopuses almost like pets or mascots, not food.
He didn't know kind of A, the community standards, the unspoken community standards, and B, the reverence with which the octopus at Cove 2 are held.
And it's not like they're threatened. A recent survey by the Seattle Aquarium says the octopus population in Puget Sound is stable. Now, that's in spite of living in some pretty polluted water. That's something that Dylan saw firsthand after he accepted Laura's invitation to go on a dive with her.
She brought me down in her water, and she showed me a lot of things that were going on down there. A lot of, like, the starfish and wildlife down there dying. A lot of things that I never really thought twice about or even noticed. And one of the dives we did together, we cleaned up one of the areas. And, I mean, we had bags and bags and bags of trash. She showed me to always do what you can to help the environment down there, or else we might not have it anymore.
On that day, even though Dylan was with Laura, he still got harassed.
And the guy had actually walked all the way down the street because he thought he recognized the truck of the octopus killer. And they were like striding up, puffy chest. And I actually got between them. I'm like, don't do it. He's just a kid. And I just remember saying, he's just a kid. Just back off. Just let it go. Walk away. The fact that we'd gotten to a point where other divers will come up and be ready to punch a guy on the street, basically, because they recognized his truck. So it was really, like, not the most comfortable situation.
I wanted to be a search and recovery diver in this area, and I wanted to go through all the, you know, training and classes and be able to help people. But, you know, the dive community has a large influence on all those programs. So after all this happened, I just didn't really feel safe going in alone to any of these programs. Part of me was a little angry.
You can only swim upstream for so long. So I can see how that would deter him. And it's unfortunate because I know how much he liked it. I saw it in his face. I saw his face on our dives. And anytime someone stops diving for that kind of reason is tragic, in my opinion.
After his dive with Laura, Dylan went to Olympia to testify before the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife. He asked the agency to officially make Cove 2 and six other popular dive sites off limits to hunting the giant Pacific octopus. Dylan did not become a search and rescue diver. Today, he is a welder. He says he's happy with the path he's taken, and he says he's fine with the nickname that he will be forever remembered by.
A lot of people refer to me as the octopus guy. Yeah, and that'll probably continue to carry on for a very long time. What was kind of a burden back then isn't so much now.